The theme we're going to explore this afternoon really picks up on one of the key elements that Rav Moshe mentioned this morning, as well as something that Rabbi Yaakov talked about before. We're going to focus just for a few brief moments on the feeling of tshuva. Because tshuva has obviously a lot of cognitive elements, it has practical elements, but there's an affect, there's a feeling that is associated with tshuva. And I want to particularly identify an aspect of tshuva, an avenue of tshuva, a way of thinking about tshuva that was not known to me when I was growing up. And I don't know how many people learned this or knew this as part of their traditional Torah upbringing. And there are a lot of reasons for this. But the world of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was one to me that was known through my family, but not really through so much learning. And it was only in recent years, becoming exposed to the teachings of Rav Kook, and specifically in the area of tshuva, that I found, and especially in talking with others and listening to others, I found really a revolution in the revelation that Rav Kook reveals to us in the world of tshuva, especially as the way that it relates to how we feel about tshuva. Right. Feeling, as you said, is about how we experience something. It's very personal. And so, on the one hand, if you ask, you know, the average person, how do they feel about tshuva? What would the average person say?
I'm in support of it.
You're in support of it. Good. Okay, that's good. It is a mitzvah, so that's good. But if you think back to your earliest thoughts and your earliest feelings, experiences about tshuva, how were we raised, at least many of us, how were we raised? In what context? What was the affect? It's a burden. It's scary. So how does that feel? What does it feel like to be burdened? What's that?
Impossible.
So what? Those are all descriptors. How does that feel?
Embarrassing.
Embarrassing, right? It's a spectator sport.
You're on heavy,
this.
Heavy.
Shameful, heavy. Heavy, right? So you feel this weight, right? That's an affect. And the truth is that in it, Rabbi Karsh is nodding. So, you know, obviously I'm saying something that's okay because I'm speaking in front of Rabbi Karsh is always it's a nervous thing. It's my Rebbe, so I have to watch out. But so far, that's right. This is okay? Right? This is just experience,
100%.
Right?
Yes.
And we got this way for a reason. And there is some strong basis for thinking about tshuva in that way. The Rambam has Hilchos Tshuva. And in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam tells us exactly what you need to do to observe, to fulfill, to check the box on the mitzvah of tshuva. And the reason you get there is very clear for the Rambam. You got to the halachas of tshuva because you made some kind of mistake. And you have to acknowledge that verbally. The shorish of the mitzvah of tshuva, there's a complicated story how the Rambam thinks that tshuva relates to vidui. But somehow, you got somewhere that you shouldn't have been. So you got to fix that. You made an error. You broke something. Now you have to fix. That's going to relate to karbonos. So the Rambam has a lot of discussion in Hilchos Tshuva about specific karbonos, how they achieve kapara. And so we have a process. We don't have karbonos anymore, but we have the four steps of tshuva. It's not a 12-step process, it's a 4-step process. You have, in the English, you have it in front of you, you have aziva sachet, you have charata, you have vidui, kabbalah, lahaba. Those are your 4 steps of tshuva. So you're going to turn your life around with these 4 steps of tshuva. And the Rambam tells you how amazing these steps are. In Perek Zion, the Rambam tells you in Hilchos Tshuva how, you know, yesterday you could have been the biggest oisvarf. And I don't know how to translate oisvarf, Brian, but you get the, you know what I'm saying? It's like the worst of the worst. That doesn't even do the half of it,
well,
right?
It's a nice way in this group, so I think, to say it.
Right? That's
you're the worst of the worst.
Worst of the worst. And guess what the Rambam says? You can do tshuva too. That's why he gives you the concept of free will. You alluded to it earlier. It's right in the heart of Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Hei, because Perek Hei and Perek Vav, you have the ability, you could do tshuva. Perek Zion tells you, even if yesterday you were filthy and disgusting, but today you're fresh and new. And on the one hand, that's like amazing and beautiful. On the other hand, what's the narrative? And how do we feel about that? You know, what is it going to take for us to live up to the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva Perek Zion? It is amazing and it's beautiful. It's an incredible transformation. But we feel like that, I don't know. Is that for me? Can I really do that? What does that even mean? What am I expected to do to get to that level of being old, to be close to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? Like, do I have the tools to do that? After I dug such a deep hole, it's overwhelming. Like all the descriptors that you shared, that's like the traditional understanding of tshuva. And it's true. And that's part of what Rabbi Yaakov was alluding to before, which is that everything we're going to say now is not to discount or minimize this element of tshuva. It's not to ignore the importance of accountability. That's not what we're doing. But what we are doing is realizing that there's a fuller picture. There are other ways of thinking about tshuva, not just as a concept that relates to our brokenness and how we try to make a feeble attempt to fix that brokenness. There are other ways of thinking about this as a whole world. And so, on comes, you know, on the scene of history comes this man, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. He's born in a tiny Latvian town in the 1860s, and he's raised in Volozhin, but with a poetic soul that saw much farther than many other people saw in his time. And he's looking around at the world, and he's seeing a world that's on fire, that's totally confused, that is, you know, it's obsessed with all kinds of movements, spiritual movements that are cloaked as social movements. So it might be communism, it might be socialism. It's lighting the world on fire. People are mamish on fire. And Rav Kook looks around at this world and he's paying close attention. So he writes an essay relating to the generation called, what we call, called Mamar Hador. How do you relate to what's going on? There's tumult in the world. We got to pay attention. It's here for a reason. It's speaking about what people are thinking about. It relates to the fact that Rav Kook talks about how even technological advances, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sprinkles them through history in every generation. So for some reason, Rav Kook tells us that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam decided our generation is the iPhone generation. That's the gift that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave us. Shkoyach, thank you. We thank God for that, maybe. But all these things are happening. Are we paying attention? So as part of this whole upheaval in the world, Rav Kook is paying attention to the fact that many Jews, they're running away from Yiddishkeit. And he wasn't the only one. The Holy Pius Setzner and the Chovas HaTalmid and the Hakdama, he's also acknowledging it, that even in very secluded enclaves before Williamsburg, before Borough Park, in Shtetlach, there were many Jews, Nebuch, young people, they were off. They were off. So Rav Kook and the Mamar Hador says, people are searching for something. We got to find a new language. We got to find a way to give people access to the Torah in a way that they can realize how important it is, how relevant it is, how meaningful it is, how it's shaykh to them, even in this complicated modern world. This world that people are running for, the Bundists and the socialists and the Zionists and the everything, all these kinds of things. Where's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in all of this? So that's kind of like a big background. Just a regalachas. I'm sorry for oversimplifying it, but I'm very, very short on time today. But I just want us to understand the culture in which this book was written. It was written at a time of great confusion, of great upheaval. It's written between the two world wars, where there is, you know, also horrible economic depression, and people are really struggling. And they're struggling with an old system in many places, like the Piasetta talks about. You know, a system on one side of the pendulum that's, you do it because you do it. And that's it. And then you have people, they're running away. They're like, we're not signing up for that anymore. So in all of this, Rav Kook writes a kuntres. You see the Sharblat on the right side. This is the original Sharblat. It was published right before Erev Rosh Shnas, Tafresh Pehe, 1924. Rav Kook publishes this kuntres. The first three chapters, it was published by his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda. The first three chapters Rav Kook wrote in order. The rest of it comes from Rav Kook's diaries. Rav Kook wrote a lot in diaries. And Rav Kook writes in the introduction, he says, Zeh kam ha-shanim, it's in your first source. Zeh kam ha-shanim, ani nilcham milchama pnimis v'ruach chazaka docheves osi ladabra al dvar tshuva. I'm feeling like I have to talk about tshuva. Why do I have to talk about tshuva? Because I feel like the world's on fire. And one of the biggest things we have to talk about is tshuva. Va'kol rayonosai, all my thoughts, rak bahim merukosim, I'm always thinking about that. Ha-tshuva, he tofeses es hachelek hayoser gadol b'torah v'chaim. Tshuva occupies the majority of Torah and life. Wait a second. What does that mean? Tshuva occupies the majority of Torah and life. I thought that tshuva was about fixing something I broke. In an ideal world, I wouldn't be breaking anything, and I wouldn't be busy with fixing. So all of a sudden, Rav Kook, just an introduction, is giving you a little window into understanding that there's a whole other world that we could call tshuva. It's not about fixing something that was broken. For Rav Kook, tshuva, as indicated in the light of the title, Oros HaTshuva, the light of tshuva, light is a multicolored experience. We see it through a prism in different shades. It comes across in one way. It illuminates. It warms. Rav Kook says tshuva is a world. It's a world of growth, of illumination, of pursuing our inner light, of finding the Ribbono Shel Olam within ourselves. It's not just about fixing what we broke. It's a whole path to life that includes so many different aspects and many different feelings. Rav Kook says, Aleh benuyos kol atikvos ha'ishios vatziburios. My personal and our collective goals are all built on tshuva. Tshuva is not repair. Tshuva is about aspiration. My goals are built on aspiration. That's what I'm trying to accomplish in life. That's what we're trying to create as a society. It's a new definition. It's a new way of looking at it. He mitzvah Hashem. It is the command. It is the call of the Ribbono Shel Olam Shehi mitzad echad kalos shebekalos. It's the easiest thing to do, to dream, to aspire. Sharei hira tshuva u'kvar tshuva. Just thinking about making time for something valuable. Thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's hira tshuva right there. Just a moment of reflection. It's the deepest tshuva. But on the other hand, mitzad echad hari kasha shebekashos. Why shall lo yatsa adayin elapol b'maloa v'olam v'chayim? Rav Kook says, you know what tshuva is in its fullness? It's the completion of the world. It's the full completion of the world to the extent that people in Africa aren't starving. And that power-hungry megalomaniacs in Russia are not shooting missiles at innocent peasants in Ukraine. Ad kedei kach, Rav Kook talks about how the sweetness, the beauty of tshuva, it lessens, that when you bring light into the world, it lessens the bite of the lions and the Serengeti. Tshuva is about the light of the world, the tikkun, the shlemus. And that the pursuit of that, as we go on that path, we bring more and more light into our lives, b'ofen prati, on an individual level, and on a collective level. That is tshuva. It's increasing the light. We can go through that tshuva at every level. It doesn't take a person to make a mistake to pursue tshuva. The nature of living in a world which is an alma de pirudah, the word pirud means separation. So there's a separation between the reality of God, the Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere, but the perception of God is not everywhere. So we live in this strange dissonance between Melech HaLaaretz Kvodo and not. As long as we live in that world, we can continue to bring Hashem's presence in more and more. And that is tshuva. It's tshuva because it's returning to the unity that existed, the Echad, the Yom. It doesn't say Yom Rishon. It says Yom Echad when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. Everything was one. And then it, you know, just kind of started to fall apart. So as we bring it back to that Echad, to that sweetness, to that light, to that goal, every step along that journey, individually, and for Rav Kook, he emphasizes nationally, that's tshuva. So that is, I apologize for giving you a very meager summary of Rav Kook's thesis on tshuva, which is a very, very big oversimplification. But the reason why this is so helpful is because, of course, as part of that process, we reflect for ourselves and we think, okay, so where am I in bringing the light of the Ribbono Shel Olam into my little Dalet Amos, my corner of the world? For my spouse, or for my children, or for my neighborhood, or for my shul, or for my city, for my community, for my world. So of course that has a self-reflective element. You need self-awareness, you need emotional intelligence to do that. And sometimes Rav Kook talks about the pinch of tshuva, the feeling of like, you know what? I could have been nicer yesterday when I interacted that person. I could have been nicer. I could have treated that person with more compassion. You know what? Instead of, you know, whatever I did, I could have done Mishnah Yomi this time around. I could have brought more light. And so there is an element of remorse, of feeling like, yeah, there's a little pinch that goes with that. But is that the core feeling? Is that the affect that is associated with Rav Kook's picture of tshuva? It's not. Rav Kook says something wild, astonishing. Take a look. This is the beginning. There are many different editions of Oros HaTshuva. This is one edition that I have which has the Nekudos, which is helpful. HaTshuva, he says something amazing. You ready for this? HaTshuva, hi ha-hargasha ha-yoser b'riya shel ha-nefesh. Tshuva is the feeling. It's the feeling. What kind of feeling? B'riya. What is bari? Healthy. When a person engages in tshuva, we feel like, ah, we're back to ourselves. We're doing something healthy. We're doing something that resonates very deeply with our inner self, our inner voice, what's really resonant with us. Neshama b'riya beguf bari. A healthy soul and a healthy body, which, by the way, we're not going to talk about today, but Rav Kook talks about the stages, the strata of tshuva, including being physically healthy, being emotionally, psychologically healthy. Only that can lead you to being religiously and then ultimately spiritually healthy. A person who doesn't sleep adequately, doesn't eat sufficiently, doesn't take care of themselves, so they're never going to get to tshuva because they can't bring themselves into the world because they're broken. Think about that. Doing exercise is part of tshuva. All right, Taka, that's not a good feeling either. Some of us hate exercise. But the idea that bringing your light into the world is tshuva, whatever you need to do that, it's part of tshuva. And so when you do pursue this goal, when you're on that journey of tshuva, every step of the way you feel like, ah, this is healthy. I'm doing something that's healthy, that's resonant, that's powerful. It says a person who's in a healthy place, muchrachas hilavo la'osher agadol shel tshuva, will achieve, of course they'll get to eventually, and not just as a destination, but as the journey, as you go through this, you feel the osher of tshuva. Osher, ashrei, happiness, fullness, contentment of doing tshuva. When we were growing up, did anybody ever tell you, ah, tshuva should make you feel good? Tshuva should bring you ashrei? No, because we thought that tshuva was about trying to sew together pieces of fabric that we can't imagine are ever going to be sewn together in the right way again. And there's a sense, this terrible sense that the sewing is never going to be good, and I'm a terrible tailor anyway. Rav Kook says, "He margeshes ba es ha'oneg ha'tivi ha'yoser gadol." This natural feeling. You ask somebody, is it natural to do tshuva? Well, it's not natural to make a mistake. So, but if we go back to the who is I, and that I is that very deep place, that inner light that the person has that's from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the more we connect with that, the more natural we really are. It's just that we've, like the PSS says, we've piled so much garbage on top and so much confusion and so much other stuff that we got to scrape it all away. But when we scrape it away, deep down, if we could ever get to that deepest place is going to take us on that the correct path that Rabbi Karsh was alluding to. It's just that because of a lot of things that we've chosen, we habituated to go to the path of the bar at 5 o'clock instead of going to the shul to daven Maariv. But when we get to that path of going to Maariv, when we tap into that place, whatever that is, there's a little feeling that we're meant, if we can listen closely enough, to feel that says, ah, I feel like I'm home now. Even if I habituated forever to take the 5 o'clock path to the bar, but when you one time tap into that good place, that light, you feel like, oh, you know, it's actually natural. Of course it's hard to make the right choices. It's difficult. We have the Alma de Piruta. We have a lot of challenges. But when we make the right choice, when we're true to our inner selves, when we're living a life of tshuva, that brings us that beautiful feeling. And you can read the rest on your own because I just want to be makatzer. But there is an amazing, beautiful pirush, an explanation of Oros HaTshuva that Rav Weinberger Shalita did. It was printed by a student. Take on the last page. Thus Rav Kook revealed the true inner light of tshuva. And doing so proclaimed, tshuva does not come to embitter life, but to sweeten it. That's the chiddush of Rav Kook. That's the chiddush that you feel sweet about tshuva, not resentful, not, you know, resistant. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's that inner sweetness that comes through tshuva, emerges from all those waves of bitterness in which the soul is embroiled when it takes its first steps upon the path of the tshuva. At the beginning, we do feel like it's like extricating a beautiful wad of wool from thistles. You know, it's painful. It's that process of trying to pull it out. He also states, quote, "How great and elevated is the happiness of tshuva. The scorching fire of the pain caused by sin refines a person's will. It purifies his character with a supernal and shining purity until the great wealth in the treasury of the life of tshuva unfolds before him. This person is continuously elevated by tshuva, by its bitterness and by its pleasantness, by its grief and by joy. Nothing purges and purifies a person, raising him to the true stature of a human being, as does his immersion in tshuva." Says Rav Weinberger, "The light of tshuva dispels the dark shadows of an unhealthy life and restores man to a state of true well-being and joy. Tshuva is the healthiest feeling of the spirit. Furthermore, corresponding to each part of ugliness that is removed from a person's soul as a result of his inner commitment to the light of tshuva, they are revealed within his soul, worlds filled with their supernal clarity." So it's a journey. It's not a destination. It's a journey. It's a process. It's the tikkun of the world. It's the tshuva that's being revealed by us getting together, by every time we choose to daven shacharis, that the world as a whole is making progress, according to Rav Kook, toward this greater light, to this ultimate tikkun. But for us, I think just on a basic level, it's the feeling. And that feeling can go a long way. If a person understands tshuva and perceives tshuva as just a very narrow, parochial set of procedures of fixing brokenness, it's going to be very limiting. And it's going to have all of that affect that we, you know, we shared and a whole lot more. But if we think about tshuva as a way of pursuing our healthy life, of bringing our inner self to the fore, not ignoring the accountability part, but seeing everything that we do to bring the Rebbe Shalom into our lives as a way of returning to ourselves, to the inner ani, to that inner ani that was lost when we made a mistake, when we got lost, like the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Rav Kook writes in Oros HaKodesh, Va'ani besoch ha-gola. The ani went into Golas. Adam HaRishon was asked, Ayeka, who are you? You don't even know, you lost yourself. The more we get back to our inner self, when we have that awareness that all these things that distracted us, that we were searching for on the outside, that Moshe talked about this morning, there are distractions from the health and the happiness of that inner ani, of when we tap into that ani, we can feel so good about it, and that can help jumpstart the process much more effectively. Rather than beating ourselves up, we should rather realize, wow, this is an invitation to light, and that every tosefes, the mosif v'holech of the or, that's what the Rebbe Shalom is asking for us. It's a totally different set of assumptions about tshuva. It's a different way of looking at it entirely. But through this, we can feel like, you know what? I can bring a little more light in today. And I've brought light in the past. And maybe I've fallen away from that ani, but I can come back to it. Because the process of tshuva, it's the sense of self. It's really the most natural thing I can do. It doesn't feel natural right now, but the more I think about it, then I can feel like, yeah, I can come to a place where when I feel that I'm in the right space, I have just those few moments of clarity, that can feel very natural and very healthy. So halavai, if we redefine tshuva for ourselves, we can realize that tshuva is not limited to Aseres Yemei tshuva or Elul or Yom Kippur, and it has nothing to do with banging yourself on the chest or hitting yourself with a machzor. It's about living a life of or. Living a life where we are more healthy than we were a few moments before. Whether that's physically, emotionally, religiously, spiritually, the more or that we bring into the world, that more light, that's the definition of tshuva. And that's something that can make us feel refreshed and energized. I want to ask you, any tosefes? Karsh, any Josephus? Emotion, any